Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'll start us off with prayer. God be with you. Let us pray. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I think most of you in the room are quite familiar with Jim Wallis and his work, but in case there's folks tuning in online who are less familiar, Jim Wallis is a leader in the faith and social justice realm, one of those people that when people see, oh, Jim Wallis is leading XYZ thing, they know they should show up. And we'll talk about one such instance this morning. Jim Wallis is also an author of numerous wonderful books. I saw that you have a very well-read copy of one. That's great. So we'll learn more from Jim about an upcoming action and ways that we can take part in social justice efforts in our community. Thanks, Jim.
Done now. Through all these years, you'd think I'd learn to turn on the mic. Huh? Dates. Write down two dates. June 8th and June 10th. June 8th and June 10th. The bulletin today calls this the seventh Sunday of Easter.
Six.
Six. The Reverend's right. What comes as a liturgical season right after Easter? Pentecost. June 8th is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is June 8th. Now, what is Pentecost all about? Well, you see, the disciples of Jesus, even after the resurrection, are scared. Picking up on Joy's sermon, they're afraid. And they're hiding in what's called an upper room. These are the famous disciples. And they're hiding in the upper room. What are they afraid of? Retaliation. You heard that word? Retaliation. They are afraid of retaliation. They are Jesus' disciples, and the Roman Empire and religious leaders in high places collaborated in taking Jesus' life, and they'd seen him. I find this very interesting. They'd seen him, the resurrected Christ, but they're still afraid. They're sitting in the upper room, and they're afraid. They're afraid of retaliation. Now, a lot of people in this country right now are afraid. They're afraid of retaliation. That's what they're afraid of. See it on the news every single day. Universities, businesses, law firms, nonprofits, certainly anybody who is an immigrant, legal or not, they're all afraid to go anywhere. They're hiding. They're laying low. They're bending their knees to an administration. This is way beyond politics now, because I know people on both sides of the aisle who don't live and spread fear. Power comes from spreading fear and making us afraid. somebody in church this morning that I know came up and said, I'm afraid. I said, you're afraid? Yeah, because I think they might come after me. I used to work for you. And she did. Pentecost is where all these scared disciples have fire come into their midst. I think you're preaching Pentecost Sunday. Fire come into their midst, and the fire of the Spirit gives them courage. They're afraid. Pentecost. The Spirit comes and they get courage. And what do they do? What do? They go into the streets. Hear that. They go from the upper room where they're afraid into the streets to bear public witness. Public witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pentecost Sunday. You're going to hear that right here. Pentecost Tuesday is June 10th. Now, it's not often the case that liturgy combines with legislation. It shouldn't. But this time, it does. Because, I don't know how many of you follow all of this, but a bill, it's called a reconciliation bill, budget reconciliation bill. It's been called by the White House a big, beautiful bill. Just passed the House of Representatives. Did you follow that? Okay, well, a lot of us were trying to protect whom Jesus calls the least of these in that bill. I was hungry, he says. It was me. I was thirsty. I was naked. I was a stranger, meaning immigrant. I was sick. I was in prison, and you didn't show up for me. Lord, when do we see you hungry and thirsty and naked, sick and in prison? We didn't know it was you. Had we known it was you, we would have formed, I don't know, a social action committee or something. So a lot of us, a whole lot of churches, including yours, has been working together to prevent these devastating cuts to Medicaid and SNAP. We used to call food stamps. Now, let me just bring that into gospel terms. This is cuts to caring for the sick, Medicaid cuts, cuts for caring for the sick, and cuts to feeding hungry people. Those are the cuts. So, the bill came down. The bill came down from the House to the Senate. It is now in the Senate, and the senators are facing it. So, $700 billion in cuts to Medicaid. $700 billion in cuts to Medicaid. 8.6 million people will lose health care coverage in the next 10 years. This is the Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan organization. They're just dealing with the numbers. To SNAP, $290 billion in spending cuts. 3.2 million lose all their benefits. Add the numbers up. That's $1 trillion. Add them up. Healthcare, food. Medicaid, SNAP. That's $1 trillion cut from the very people Jesus calls the least of these. So is this a political issue? And this much more than that. Is it a partisan issue? No. $1 trillion. Why are they doing this? Literally, to pay for tax cuts, more tax cuts, to make tax cuts to the wealthiest and large corporations permanent. And we're talking trillions there. These are big numbers, trillions. And I saw a commentator say, if they didn't cut taxes more for those making over $500,000 a year, we wouldn't need any cuts to Medicaid or SNAP. Wouldn't need them. So a number of us have said a budget is a moral document. Budgets show who's important, who's not, who matters, who doesn't. Budget for a family, for a church, for a city, a state, a nation. Budgets show what's important, and who's not. This budget makes clear, this bill, who's important and who's not. So, Pentecost Sunday, we're calling on churches all over the country, I wouldn't have to press much here, to talk about how the Spirit comes like a fire to give us courage. Now, courage is the issue in this country. Beyond all the policy stuff, courage is the issue. The people who are running things want you to be afraid and want you to therefore keep quiet. Be silent. Keep your head down. Protect yourself, your institutions, universities. Protect. Protect, protect. But then Pentecost comes, and guess what? We're filled with courage. And guess what? We go to the streets. So on Tuesday, we're going to be at the U.S. Senate. First, we're going to process. I'm not calling it a march, it's a procession. I'm calling on clergy. We've got 25 partners now involved in this. Whole denominations, whole networks have joined, and we're calling for clergy to come in their robes and their collars. Preach on Sunday, June 8th. Tell your people, I'm going to Washington, to the streets to proclaim the gospel. I'm not speaking for the church, but I'm going, and all of you are invited to come with me. And I'm hearing around the country pastors saying, yeah, we're coming. As a pastor and parishioners, they're coming. So I'm saying, bring your robes, bring your collars. Imagine the powerful image of a procession of robes and clergy and lay people processing all over the Capitol grounds, ending up at the steps of the U.S. Senate. Now, the park police, they're okay with us processing around a bit, but you can't get a permit for the steps, Capitol steps. That's the visual place. That's the place where, but when you have U.S. senators who welcome you to the steps are yours. Senator Coons, Senator Raphael Warnock, Senator Cory Booker are welcoming us. They're excited. The time has come, they tell me, for faith communities to stand up and speak out. Now, there are also, if you're following this, some Republican senators who also don't want to cut Medicaid. Some of them are Catholic women who are senators and who don't want to cut Medicaid. So we're reaching out to them too. Murkowski and Collins and some others Chris Coons is the kind of the head of the prayer breakfast group up there. He's got all kind of people every week. He's always there, Republican, Democrat, who come to pray. He announced this last week to his colleagues. So on that day, Tuesday, they're having their big Senate caucus lunches at 1 o'clock. They all got to be there for that. At 12 o'clock, the hour before, will be on the Senate steps for an hour, hopefully with a number of senators welcoming us. Now, I've made it clear we're not looking for a bunch of politicians to speak. And as Ray knows, that's often what they want to do. And they said, no, we want to welcome and witness. We want to come and listen. When Cory Booker did his big marathon speech, there was a part in it where Chris Coons and he had, I call it a biblical soliloquy. They talked about the Bible. Booker says there are 2,000 verses in the Bible about the poor. He's right. We've said that for a long time. And Chris and he began to quote them back and forth. So we're asking these clergy with their robes and collars to come with their handwritten favorite Bible verses about the poor. Imagine a procession. We've got several choirs already signed up. There'll be good music, singing, processing, holding those scriptures, reading those scriptures. And I've been thinking the last couple of days with my team, why don't we have the senators who are going to welcome us, instead of giving speeches, read from the Bible. Read biblical texts that are their favorites about what God says about the poor. So there we are. We will find a wonderful staging area for which we do have a permit that holds upwards of 1,000 people, because that's what we want, 500 to 1,000 people. A number of local churches have really bought into this and sending their own people, or their choirs and their pastors. Joshua will be there. did I ever tell you how Joshua and I met? We were at the Hart Senate office building protesting cuts to the poor. All planned out, a dozen of us faith leaders. We were there and we wanted to read scriptures, and the sergeant at arms said, they didn't want to arrest us, faith leaders, looking like faith leaders. Said, how many verses are there about the poor in the Bible? And we said, 2,000. Oh, I can't let you read 2,000. We're going to have to arrest you. We're going to have to arrest you. So we began to read our scriptures, and this guy comes running up and says, hi, my name's Joshua. I was here today to protest these cuts to the poor. I just had to come. I just felt like I had to come and talk to my representative, so I'm here. I said, hi, nice to meet you. Can I get arrested with you? I said, well, there was training we went through. Yeah, but I'm okay. I'm not a crazy guy. I'm okay. You know, I'll just do, can I? I said, okay, come on. So he got arrested. And the first time we met, we got arrested together. And that was a real changing time for a lot of people. So here we are. And I'm just laying it out. This is my wife, Joy, is a priest here. This is where I come to church when I'm in town. And so if some of you or others would like to come, we'd love to have you. So we'll gather about, the details are all available. There's a web page I'll send and you can send it around. You can sign up. We'll have trainers. So we'll have it all clearly. We're meeting here. We're processing here. We're ending up here at the Senate steps with the senators on the steps for an hour. Imagine the image of clergy processing, praying, singing, reading, standing on those steps. There's a myth out there that the media keeps saying that all Christians, or most of them, voted for this administration. They keep saying that. It's not true. I wrote a column last week showed about it's about 50-50. Most white Christians did. When you count black Christians and Hispanic and the rest, nope. And the other myth is, and we're all being silent. We're all silent. That's also not true. I want to change the vote and change the narrative. Change the vote. We could impact this vote. There's so much reluctance there already. We could impact this vote. Imagine if people of faith helped to change a vote like this on feeding the poor and caring for the sick. This isn't just sort of political talk. We could impact this vote. Nothing would be more visual. They're going to vote about 2 weeks after that, so we'll have time. And right after we're done the steps, we go up into the Senate to talk to our representatives. All over the country, they'll make appointments to come and meet with their member of the Senate after. So we'll go 10 o'clock for a gathering, then we'll process, and then we'll go to the steps. Then we'll talk to them individually, and that scene is one that I'm just waiting for. So if any of you would like to come and join us, you'd be more than welcome. Tell your friends, spread it around the church. But I want to see if I've been clear. Do you have any questions about what we hope for? Yes, please.
How are you going to make sure that the media covers this vision?
Well, if you...
How are you going to make sure the media covers this?
Well, we're going to put Ray Suarez in charge of our media strategy. He would say, and he's right, you never can make sure. But a number of people who work with the media on a regular basis are pretty convinced that the visual here will be compelling at this time. So all we can do is try, but we're going to be aiming directly at some of those media, reporters, columnists, others. So I think it'll be powerful, and we're going to make that case to the media.
We'll be there.
Yes.
Where will you have the instructions, or is there a place where we can get instructions on where to meet and where we present?
Yeah. I will send you the website with the link that answers all those questions. So by the beginning of the week, you'll have all of it. It lays out, and also how to sign up. You can sign up for this, RSVP. I'm coming, and all that. It'll be clear. But that's the framework that I just described. Yes?
This obviously has a very Christian focus to it.
Right.
Christian denominations encouraging their clergy as well, or is the purpose of this really to focus on a Christian place?
We work at, I'm at the Center for Faith and Justice at Georgetown, and we're convening this. And we had long talks about that. So the Quakers, the Friends Committee on Nationalization, they're joining this as Quakers. Quakers don't do liturgy. Christian, but they're joining us, so people are welcome to join. I just finished my teaching this spring at Georgetown, and a couple of my students say, you know, I'm reconsidering faith after this class. I never was drawn before, but I'm not sure about it yet. Could I still come? I said, sure. So we'll probably have some brother and sister rabbis there as well, imams. But we don't want to lose that Pentecost framing. The Pentecost framing of courage, spirit, fire, that we didn't want to lose. So, but people, I'm quite open to people who are coming. We may have some Catholic bishops there. We may have, we will have heads of denominations there. So it's going to be broad. But the Christian framing seemed important to us. Ray.
This sounds great, but I have real concerns about length. When you're trying to move a lot of people, we have to meet the country kind of where it is in our politics. Politicians who call themselves faith and values politicians and pro-family politicians, and voters who call themselves faith and values voters, are for this budget and are thrilled when they see half a dozen congressmen in the well of the House on their knees praying. They're thrilled when the new speaker calls himself a Moses called to be a leader. That side of the argument has seized a lot of the high ground. And I don't know how you meet, how you move 40 million, 50 million people to say, wait a minute, if I'm a faith and values voter, how can I be against giving people enough support that they can buy their groceries? If I'm a pro-family voter, how can I be for cutting minors who are dependents and people who are Medicaid? How can I be for that? We never get the conversation to that tense point where we have to challenge that language. How could you be a faith and values voter who's pro-hunger?
Okay, you want a speaking role at this thing? That, Ray, that's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm doing it. I think we could impact this vote, but as you know well, you never know about votes. I think we have a chance of impacting this. I want to change that narrative. Robbie Jones, PRRI, the polling organization, I did a podcast with him last week. He's got a whole new surveys out about the first 100 days. And what people thought, what Christians thought of that. It turns out that, in fact, not all Christians, not even most Christians, support that narrative. But that narrative has risen up and taken over. It's called Christian Nationalism. The book that I signed for all the seniors is a book about Christian nationalism. So that narrative has to be undone. That narrative has to be directly challenged. This is a moment, an event, to challenge that narrative. When people see, well, all these Christians and leaders and callers, they think we shouldn't cut health care to the sick who are most needy. This bill would close rural hospitals. One in three rural hospitals are already in trouble. This will close rural hospitals. Even those who don't have Medicaid will lose their hospitals. So, and what you cut in food stamps, this will hurt farmers all across the country who produce food. So we're gonna make this a gospel issue. Following Jesus issue, and people who are supporting this have different political views. You know, our circle of protection has the Catholic bishops in it, the National Association of Evangelicals in it, Salvation Army is in it, and they don't agree in all kinds of stuff, but they don't think you should cut the sick and the hungry. So it's that narrative that I hope this thing will help to change. Moments are what change narratives. If people see something different, you know, when King was in Birmingham and all these kids and hoses and dogs and Fred is watching at home on TV, he says, Lucy, come here. Look at this. Look what they're doing. This is wrong. Lucy and Fred never marched. But watching what happened, as you know, Birmingham was a play. Selma was a play that King put on to show the world what was true. What Robbie points out, if you're going to count black Christians, churches, and Hispanic numbers are shifting way back after 100 days. So Asian Americans, so and white Christians who didn't vote that way, when you add all of us together, we are tens of millions of people. We are tens of millions of people, and the nation needs to hear from us. And I want to have a debate with those Christian nationalists. They had a Easter thing at the White House. The only scripture they quoted, only one, was how God raises up kings. That was their scripture. I'll debate any of them, anytime, any place. What does the Bible say about the poor? So we're on firm biblical grounds here. Even if people aren't binary in their politics, they aren't Democrat and everything or Republican, that's the binary trap we get stuck in. We're trying to bring gospel issues to bear. And Pentecost is such a great time. So it's that narrative that this event, I think, will try to help overcome. But you can be on the media planning committee. I loved your. Yes?
Thank you so much for speaking to us today. I'm wondering how I can help get the word out.
Well, we'll get that website clip to you right away. And everything you need is there. So you can then spread the word, send it to your friends, colleagues, other people in the church. Souls are coming for the next worship here. So getting the word out is the most important thing. We've got about 3 weeks. So we'll give you everything you need to get the word out. Yes?
This is next Tuesday? No.
No, I'm sorry. It's about 3 weeks away. It's
June 10th. 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Okay, it's June the 10th.
Okay.
Yeah, June the 10th.
I was going to say there's an interesting symmetry because I think it is the week before. The Community Development Bankers Association is convening in Washington, and they are already planning a Tuesday on the Hill to meet with their representatives to talk about how this budget will affect those who are least able to adapt. So I think it's a synergy, and if what I will do is to make sure they are aware that this is coming, it's a week before, so we can build momentum.
And all are welcome regardless of their liturgical seasons. Over here, please.
Hi, I was just sort of thinking about what Ray said, about you said, I'm not part of this world. I haven't done a lot of this. I'm an elementary school teacher, but I'm just wondering, is there any phraseology, Christian nationalism has been captured at the moment anyway by this. Is there a common vocabulary that we should all be using for all of the efforts that we're doing so that we can counter when they say, oh, we're Christian nationalists, or we're, evangelicals, or, is there, what vocabulary are we using so we can have vocabulary to go forward?
Yeah, I actually did a forum here on this last book when it came out over a year ago. And the vocabulary I used there was, let's look at the core teachings of Jesus. It's a whole chapter. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The opposite of lies is not just, the opposite of truth is not just lies, it's captivity. So we're trying to set captives free from false information, misinformation. That's on the rise now, even trying to affect the elections next time. So truth, I did the Good Samaritan text, which is, here's one who's being othered by his whole society, and he helps one who's other to him. And the title of that chapter is, your neighbor probably doesn't live next door. And so I'm wanting to use, for Christians, the language of Jesus about freedom, about truth, and from Genesis. When the political noise just My job is to listen to political noise and respond to it. And I often hear the noise, and I go to Genesis 1:26, where it says, "Then God said, let us make humankind in our own image." This is an assault on the image of God. So we're going to biblical language, Jesus language, and to say there are Christians out there who care about Matthew 25. Yeah. Right.
And I totally understand what you're saying, but to use for like thinking about the young people or thinking about people who are on social media, how are we going to capture them without the context, the total context?
Well, that's what the media committee is doing, which Ray's going to hopefully join. It's going to be about social media, all the media, I just hired a new media person for our center. She's 25. And she's good at all this stuff. So we're doing social media, we're doing earned media. Earned media is important, but also social media. So we'll have a whole bunch of young people doing that in little clips, protect the poor, care for the sick, feed the hungry. That's what's at stake. So social media and earned media.
Hey, Jim.
Please.
I am so fired up. I'm part of the old people, and I have not gone to any rallies or any demonstrations because it's like, well, I'm old, it'll be tiresome, it won't do any good, nobody will pay any attention. Thank you. I'm showing up because it has a focus. It has visuals, clergy investments, surrounded by parishioners. My heart is just singing that because of this whole thing of nobody's doing anything or saying anything.
It's not true, right?
And all I could think of was lying down in front of the tanks when they have the military parade. And that's not really very effective.
I think they wouldn't run over you. I don't think they'd run over you, but
this is what's doing. This is great.
I'm so pleased, and could you bring your collar but also your robe?
All of it.
Yeah.
We'll get everything in the vesting room. I'm gonna bring my atheist son.
Okay. Here and then over here. This is a great conversation.
I just have two points. First, I just like to bounce around, brainstorm. I mean, Jesus followers, is that too? Because we do. Social media needs a short clip to combat Christian nationalism. And so maybe, Christian is not enough. Maybe Jesus followers. But then I have something else to say, too.
My students respond much more to Jesus followers, my own sons, because of that. And a lot of young people that I live with young people and teach young people all the time, even though I'm old, too. And Jesus somehow has survived the church.
Yes. we need a clip. And I want to say to the old people, of which I'm one, here we have an example. Terry Dowd was arrested at the Capitol, and she was treated very well.
So don't worry.
Well, there's no arrest this time, because the visuals will be so powerful. But there may be a time coming up when that might happen. Yeah, thank you. She's been with us for a long time. Okay, is it clear? Okay, and amen, good. And we'll get the word out. Is that a hand?
Yes, I know the visual is really important.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the answer is rain or shine. But if there's heavy duty rain, that could have impact on the visual. Is there a plan for how to maintain the visual impact?
Would you be willing to serve on the weather committee?
What a big umbrella.
Yeah. We have thought of that for sure, and we can't really tell yet, but we're hoping for the best. And if we could also get a big room at the visitor center, on Capitol Hill inside, but outside is going to be the power. And so maybe we should bring your robes, bring your collars, and bring your umbrellas. So all these people in their umbrellas. I like that. That's a good idea. Who are you?
There's a lot of questions about website.
Yeah.
You said it's going to come.
Yeah.
Is there a name for the website we can look up if we just can't wait?
Oh, it's the Pentecost Witness. The Pentecost Witness for Public Action, I think it's called. But let me see, this is what I'm not good at. I'm good at convening, but not doing social
media.
Jim
will send it to me, and then I'll make sure that it's in e-news, which will come out on Thursday. If you're not receiving e-news, get on the e-news list, first of all. But if you don't get it on Thursday, send me an email and I'll make sure you get that information. I'll be glad to help share it out. And we'll put it on St. Columbus social media as well.
Okay. Pentecost Witness for a Moral Budget. Pentecost Witness for a Moral Budget. And that's easy to find. But I'll send all the stuff. Pentecost Witness for a Moral Budget.
Sure. Those of us lay folks, should we show up red?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Higher tight color.
I love that, yeah. So these are good ideas because people can show up. I think showing up as who we are is what's important, clergy or not. But showing up as people of faith, we want you to know that we're showing up. All these demonstrations around the country going on, do I think clergy and lay people are involved in those? Sure, but they're not showing up as faith people. They're not wearing their collars, they're not wearing, and help all of those things around the country if faith people begin to show up as faith people. You never have enough people just with faith people, but every movement we've had in this country has been animated by people of faith, every single one. So I'm hoping this event will help take back home, let's show up. As lay people, as clergy, we want people to know that people of faith are here. So not just here, but we can take this back home. Okay, I'm being told to. She wants to preach again, I think that's it. Anyway, I am so grateful for this time and for you. And we'll see you on June 10th.